This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
Boys, how we doing? Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving. Jeez. Even though, look, it's going to come and go, much like the meal we're going to eat and it coming out of our bowels.
I was
thinking this, though. Does Thanksgiving extend into kind of tomorrow and the weekend? A lot of people take off, obviously, today as well as Friday, and then you head into the weekend. So is it actually more of like a four-day event? I mean, Jonas, you celebrate this holiday. Is that how you view it?
Hey, Brady, does this holiday extend into like December, like say the end of December, like maybe all the way into New Year's? I mean, maybe it replaces, you know, that one holiday that, some people just don't really get down with.
I see what he's doing.
I love Christmas. I love the Christmas lights, Christmas music, all of it, the festivities,
no,
the fake snow. I love it all. I do.
Hey, Grinch, don't lie.
No, I do. Right? But I think it should wait its turn and come tomorrow when the turkey is gone. I'm just saying, when the turkey is gone and it's no longer Thanksgiving Day, then you can start moving towards Christmas. You have my approval then. Tough balls, not happening. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know what? You're a D-bag, all right? You might as well be the stuffing, all right? Just shove it right on in there.
That's nice.
There he is.
Again, folks, the face of Big Noon Kickoff, just lighting up your airwaves with appropriate commentary as the broadcast professionally is.
By the way, don't think for one second, LeVar, that Jonas working on a holiday, he doesn't put in his back pocket, you know, to be I work on holiday. That is how Jonas operates. He's always trying to be like, no days off, man. I'm like Bill Belichick. I'm like the Patriots. No days off.
I mean, it is a good point. I don't know to tell you. Like, I work the holidays, Thanksgiving. And by the way, can we just all point this out as well, too?
What's that?
We're not really working. All right.
This isn't a job.
Okay,
this is not a job.
Like,
I mean, we prepare. We do a lot of stuff for this, but this is not what a lot of people consider work.
This is not heroic, okay? There's nothing heroic about showing up and talking about hangovers and food.
If you saw the person I lay next to every night, it's heroic to have to get up and leave. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Yeah. Brownie points, baby. Brownie points.
It'll be pumpkin pie points today.
You know? Now, Brady, you asked a very important question that I thought was very relevant to a lot of people that are getting up right now that maybe don't want to be getting up at this time right now because they got a long day of cooking and getting everything ready.
Family coming in town.
Definitely. So what is that question you have for the audience?
I would ask all of you this, our listeners, are you hungover, okay? and this maybe applies more for that 18 to 25 demographic, those who are in those younger ages or maybe in college coming back. Last night was I didn't realize this until I was, I think I was in Denver at the time, and I had gone out to grab something to eat down at Cherry Creek. I was with the Denver Broncos. So this is like year four in the NFL.
Doesn't John Elway have a car dealership in Cherry Creek?
Maybe. I don't know. It sounds like a great tangent to a story that has nothing to do with John Elway.
Little Denver knowledge there. Brady.
Jonas.
Thinks I don't know Denver. Sprinkle something on him
shocking.
Right there.
Shocking. Oh, yeah. So you guess if John Elway has a car dealership. Hey, does Don Shula have a car dealership in Miami? Probably somewhere.
Speaking of chefs, I'm like Salt Bae. Look at me just sprinkling off my elbow some Denver knowledge on Brady Quinn's face. How's that feel?
Yeah. I know he's got a steakhouse. I don't think he has any more dealerships anymore. But I know he's got a few steakhouses there. So we at least know that.
Don't let him sidetrack you, man. I want to hear the story.
The only story was when I went out, like I was like looking around. I'm like, man, it is packed in here. There's all these young kids. Like people are kind of looking at me out. And then they're trying to buy me like shots and all this stuff. I'm like, what the hell is going on? is this like Mardi Gras or something here in Denver? Like, what did I miss? And someone looks at me. They go like, this is the biggest night out in the entire year. I'm like, why is that? Everyone comes home from Thanksgiving break, comes home from college and goes out. And so it was getting absolutely wild. I was out with a couple of teammates.
You stayed out.
No, I didn't. two of us left, one stayed out.
Who stayed out?
We ain't naming names. We ain't naming names.
Give, don't give me his name. Just his jersey number and his Twitter account. Back, I'll figure it out.
We go back, and he rolls in the next morning. We obviously had practice and all that stuff going on. And he was
hurt.
Mangled. Absolutely mangled. Like, trying to use the facilities, kind of get himself back, hot tubbing it, all that, to try to get himself back into it. But absolutely mangled.
I mean, you know, it is a big holiday.
That's what the steam room. Let me tell you something. The steam room has saved many men. Many of men.
Wow.
I'll give you the remedy here, all right? You get you a hot cup of coffee. And you got to drink it black. You can't put anything. You can't add anything to it.
You hear that, Lee?
You got to drink it black. All right. Then you go jump into that steam room and you just sweat yourself out for at least a good 15 to 25 minutes. You cannot cheat the time. It has to at least be 15 to 25 minutes that you sweat yourself out. And while you're in there sweating yourself out, you are crushing Gatorades. No, it cannot be water.
Electrolytes.
You have to get the electrolytes going and you have to get them back in you, okay? And then you get out and you take a shower, you wash it all off, and then you get some water and then a coffee, and then you're good to go. Has saved many a man. I had to get a couple rookies and help them out just like that.
Now,
that's the remedy.
Okay, so now, because Brady Quinn gave out a similar remedy months ago on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, the 10-step process?
The 10-step process.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't have time. You got to cut through some of the steps.
Yeah, it's tough.
So if you've got to go straight to the top on your, is it the same thing? Just sweat it all out? Just a bunch of water, sweat it all out, work out, get a nice little lather going, and then you just move forward with the day? Is that how we work this thing?
With mine, no. So it's a 10-step process. I won't go through all of it like we did on that show, but it basically comes down to this. Step 10 is just start drinking again, all right? It's hair of the dog, right? If by step 9 you
very
haven't
good.
Figured it out, you're not starting to feel better. Step 10 is just start drinking again.
What was the most...
It's easier to retox than detox. All right?
I'm not saying that you would do this during a game week, but if you were coming in to watch film on, say, getting into a bye week, what was the most... banged up.
It didn't have to be a bye week to get banged up.
All right, so the most banged up you ever were that you can recall where you're like, man, this is going
to
take a little... give me one.
I'll say this. There have been times where we've gone out, we partied so long that when we came out, we went and got breakfast at a little breakfast spot and went straight to practice.
Good God.
We went straight to practice. Like, straight to practice. And some of these dudes, and I'll say morons, some of them morons, would actually do that early on in our careers before games. That's horrible.
Man, I
hate to admit that.
Who was it? There was a guy, a former New York Giant, who was telling a story about Lawrence Taylor. And he said one time they were playing, I think they were playing the Eagles. And I think they were staying in Atlantic City. Or no, they might have been playing at home, but they stayed away from home. So they stayed in a team hotel, and it was in Atlantic City before they would go to the games because their stadium was in New Jersey. And he said that Lawrence Taylor waited until they did a room check and then paid somebody to get out of the room, went, partied all night in Atlantic City, showed up to the stadium with a wad of cash that he won from the casino, in the same clothes he went out with the night before, showered, put his jersey on. It was 40 minutes until kickoff, and he had 3.5 sacks.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable.
Some people used to have stunt doubles for their bed checks, but I ain't snitching on nobody. But, at some point, the people that check your room and check your floor, they come at a certain hour. And some people know the hours in which they get on the floors and they sit somebody on the floor so you can't come off and on the elevator. So you get your stunt double in the room before those people come sit on the floor watching people get on and off the elevator. And most times they'll open the door. They'll knock on the door. They'll open the door. They'll be like, room check. They'll be like, oh, we're here. I'm here. They don't come in the room and look at your face. They just open the door and say, yeah, room service, you know, LeVar or, you know, Brady. You go, yeah, I'm here. And that's it. So you get a stunt double.
Well, I was going to say, like the one thing that LeVar is pointing out that makes it very easy to maneuver around, and we had players on pretty much almost every team I was on that did this, is they always have someone by the elevators. Mm-hmm. There's not always someone by the stairs.
Okay? It's like the most.
So they might have to work.
Thing.
They have to, might have to work a little bit harder. But if they really want to make it out, they can find a stairwell to make it out.
Couldn't you float somebody a couple hundred bucks and like you don't have to worry about it? Like
we had a guy who paid off the watcher, and then the dude turned him in.
Oh,
it was amazing.
No, he can't keep his money.
Yeah, of course he did.
Good for him.
And the player was pissed, but like what can you do about it? Like at that point, like what are you going to say? He turned you in. He still got his job. Anyway, he'll cash off you. It was actually kind of a low-key good play. Here's what I love about LeVar Jonas' story is the fact that he tells these LT stories. And there's some truth to it, but there's other parts where you're like, you can't show up 40 minutes before a game. I know. You repeat stuff that people say. But there's like all sorts of rules and things where you'd get fined. People would be reporting on it because the injury report comes out. If he's not there, what are you going to say? If he's not out there for warm-ups and out there in the field. So it's a great story, but you got to be a little concerned about Jonas' stories. There's always a little half-truths.
Okay, first of all, I'm repeating what was told to me. This isn't my story. I'm repeating what was told to me.
And I'm literally punching holes in it because it is the most fabricated part of it ever. He probably showed up a few hours before, sobered up, played in the game a little
bit. Yeah, I appreciate it. Listen, that's what we like to do is poke holes here. Speaking of poking holes, Brady spent time as the Chargers security guard.
What year was that?
Yeah, that was a few years ago.
Fine?
Yeah, Brady was wearing a red trench coat working the Charger sidelines. And how he knows so much about the Charger, the security handle. There, the NFL games and all that. So very good. All right, this is a fun start to the show as always. As I get kicked in the nuts to start off a holiday, but a happy Thanksgiving to you and yours here.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I actually can't even believe that this became a topic. Like, I'm actually shocked because he was on the Pat McAfee show and he talked about his toe injury and they joked around and he said he had COVID toe. Like, it's a joke.
Right.
Okay, the Wall Street Journal ran with it. And started breaking down what COVID toe is and how it would look. And I think I said, first of all, the fact that they were able to, you know, that we can talk about it and call it COVID toe without slipping up, I think tells us, you know, what kind of professional broadcasters we are, as I almost just did there. But like they ran with this story. Everybody freaked out about it. And they were doing like legitimate breakdowns of what COVID toe is. And I'm thinking to myself, this is like something you would see in The Onion. And so Rodgers goes on the Pat McAfee show again and is like, or he talks to the media after the Pat McAfee interview. And you could tell he was just frustrated. This was even a storyline at this point. And here's what he had to say yesterday.
I can't believe I have to again come on here and talk about my medical information. But yeah, I have a fractured toe. I've never heard of COVID toe before. I have no lesions on my feet. That's just a classic case of disinformation. It's surprising coming from what used to be a reputable journalistic institution, but that's the world we live in these days.
I think this is the greater point. And it's almost like Kyrie Irving, who I don't believe that he's truly a flat earther or everything else. I think athletes now are essentially making fun of the media because of the position that they're in, having to constantly produce some sort of subject or content every day. Whether it's Twitter, whether it's showing, I mean, just the constant news cycle. I think athletes now know they can toy with the media. They can say whatever they want, and someone's actually going to run a story based off it. So I think, look, on obviously Pat McAfee, AJ Hawk, their show, they have a ton of fun. You know, there's some seriousness to it, but for the most part, you know, it's like sports satire. So, you know, the reality is, he's saying something just to have fun, but everyone's going to take every little bit that he says and they're going to manipulate it. He knows that. And so he can make a joke like that, and then he's probably sitting himself after the show going, can't wait to see who runs with this.
Watch them pick it up.
Yeah, watch them take this bait. And of all sources, the Wall Street Journal, which is like, just tell me about the business sector. Tell me about what's going on in the financial markets. Like, I don't need you telling me and writing about sports stories, okay? Like, I'm not trying to disparage the Wall Street Journal, but, like, stay in your lane, bro. It's more of, like, that kind of stuff. Like, leave that to some other sports outlet. Maybe that's one reason why we didn't see a ton of other sports outlets do a deep dive into it like the Wall Street Journal decided.
Remember when you'd go to a supermarket and you'd stand in line, you'd see the National Enquirer, and you'd kind of laugh and go, oh, my God, this is so dumb.
Yeah, like, there's people who think it's true.
But like, we're getting closer to reputable places like the Wall Street Journal actually going with stories like that. COVID toe? What are we talking? Like, at some point, somebody's got to get a grip on reality and then get a life. Some point, you got to relax, man. Like, this is ridiculous. You can't be like. Does anybody actually look at this? Legitimately think there's such thing as COVID toe?
Could you imagine Dan Rather?
Here?
Could you imagine Dan Rather on the evening news and our top story of the evening? Aaron Rodgers reportedly has the COVID toe.
Just like, what are
coming
we doing
up next?
Here?
Like, what?
I'm not going to question. I'm not going to question the validity of, like, if it's actually a thing. It's supposedly some sort of medical condition where a rash breaks out.
But I
could care less about that. I think the other thing he's pointing out is the fact that everyone's so interested about his own personal health information. And that's more of the point here, too, is it's like, dude, so now he's picking up his foot and showing people where his toe is fractured. You know, he's just saying, here, look at it, all right? Like, what other medical condition you want to look at, okay? I've got a hemorrhoid, too. You want to see that? It's getting to the point where it's like, batter up? Hold on, let me just show you the hemorrhoid I'm dealing with right now. Like, in all seriousness, like, what are we doing now?
We're so
invested into people's personal information that we just can't let him be. Like, we can't just let him watch him play football. We have to know about every little thing. It's absurd.
It's social media, man, because you have access to everybody's personal life, and now everybody thinks that they just have the right to know everything about you. It's not just what you post online. Now we got to know everything. We got to know your medical history, your background, what you're dealing with, what's going on. Him fanning his toes out in front of the media. If you watch that and see that, and you can't just understand how absurd this whole situation is, then you're a moron. There's nothing else you could do. Like, you're a moron that you actually fall for this stuff, that he's got to go to this extent to try and show you, no, I don't have lesions on my feet, okay? This isn't a prop costume from Game of Thrones. I don't have grayscale. Like, the whole thing is just ridiculous.
I'll tell you what. His toes look better than Kevin Durant's ashy skin.
If you're asking me if one of them
has a condition, I would think it's more Kevin Durant between the two, if we're being honest.
That's a good point. I don't know if
Kevin Durant's got COVID toes. I mean, he got COVID shin or ankle.
COVID ankle.
I'm going to be real with you.
Really?
That looks like a condition. He needs some milk or some lotion or something.
Yeah. Rodgers did talk about the actual injury he has and sort of the situation surrounding all that.
The injury I suffered when I was in quarantine, doing my own workouts and trying to ramp up my conditioning. Didn't think it was what it was until I got to the facility on Saturday before the game and got x-rayed when I got cleared. It's just about pain management. There's surgical options as well that wouldn't involve missing time. Thankfully we got a great foot guy in town, the best in the business who everybody's sending stuff to. But I think, I'll definitely look at all options over the bye week and decide what would be best to make sure I get to the finish line.
All right. Who wants to make the first Rex Ryan joke? Go ahead.
No, I'm not messing with that. By the way, he's not wrong. Dr. Anderson, that's who he advised me on my Liz Frank injury. He didn't end up doing the surgery. I had a fellow do it close to here, but he's not lying. Like, he's in the best hands of anyone possible in Green Bay. That is the guy everyone goes to. If you got a bunion to a Liz Frank to an Achilles, like, Dr. Robert Anderson is the guy. I broke a sesamoid bone one time. in practice. And I couldn't tell, like, I don't want to tell the Jets, but I got it looked at outside of the facility. And it's like tore off a tendon and all that. It hurt like hell. And I would just kind of go in and rehab and all this stuff. But I just gotten there. And I was like, I'm not going to give them another reason for them to like cut me or release me. And it was, it seems like something small, but I think anyone who's had like those sorts of injuries, dude, it can wreak havoc on you and just how you move around, how you feel, walk around all day.
So how do you injure it like that? Is it just,
I literally put my cleat in the ground and I turned a plant during a drill. And I felt, it felt like someone lit off a firecracker in my shoe. Like there was just a pop.
Jeez.
And then next thing I know, I'm like kind of go to plant. I'm like, oh, and it just started burning. It was literally like a firework went off in my shoe and a fire started on my big toe. And then I was like, all right, well, we're just going to keep working through this the rest of the day and see what happens.
And this was with the Jets?
Yeah, it was back in 2013. I'd just gotten there. So, I mean, again, I wasn't trying to get him any more reason to kick me out of there.
Who was the head coach on that team?
It was Rex Ryan. Oh, and that was the other fear was I didn't want Rex to check it out.
I was going
to
say.
I just felt like if I went to the team with it, then yeah. Rex might have been, he might have been really interested in it.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You know.
So, I'm going to need for you to come to my office right now, Brady Quinn. Reports from the training room says that you have some type of issue with your toes. We're going to have to meet. 3:40 sharp, please. Be there.
It's a hard pass.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He is from the MMQB.com. He is senior NFL reporter. Get him on Twitter at Albert Breer. Albert, sorry about all the grab ass. We were just, you know, trying to get to you on time, but these guys are steering us into a ditch this morning. Happy holidays.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, too. If you guys are running the triple option, is LeVar the dive back and then Jonas, you would be the you'd be the pitch back? Brady, I know you're the quarterback, right? Is that right?
Probably not. I don't know. Who really cares, Albert? Let's be honest. Because happy Thanksgiving. Here's what got swept under the rug amongst three games on a national holiday. The Rams had to pay $790 million in their settlement with St. Louis. I got to be honest. I feel like they got off on the cheap end. They're probably happy to settle it for this amount. Tell me, am I wrong?
No, I think you're right, Brady. You know, they just wanted it to go away. And, you know, now the question is going to become, you know, who's footing the bill and whether or not Stan Kroenke is going to be responsible for the whole thing. And for people who haven't followed this, I mean, basically there's been some infighting among owners as far as who's going to be, you know, basically, you know, stuck with the tab here. And one of the reasons why is because when they moved the Rams from St. Louis to L.A., you know, Stan Kroenke basically agreed to pay any associated costs. Well, now he's arguing that in the Chargers and Raiders application to build a stadium in L.A., they basically drew up a roadmap for the city of St. Louis to sue the Rams and sue the NFL over the move. And so it's gotten complicated. It's gotten messy. The interesting part, I think a lot of people would argue, Brady, is going to happen right now, you know, with that infighting between the owners. But yeah, I think overall, like the league is happy to get rid of this, especially because, you know, they got the Super Bowl in Los Angeles in a little over 2 months. And so I don't think they wanted the cloud of a lawsuit involving the stadium that they're playing the game in to be hanging over them during Super Bowl week.
All right. So and if that's the case, is there a fallout in terms of if there would ever be the opportunity for a team to now go back to Missouri?
Yeah, and, you know, LeVar, I think all the reporting that's been out there has, you know, indicated that there was no sort of deal like there was, say, you know, with the city of Cleveland when the Browns went to Baltimore, where, you know, like part of them settling that case was that the NFL promised Cleveland an expansion team. That hasn't happened here. And I'd be surprised if there is, you know, any sort of expansion on the horizon that doesn't involve international. You know, I know a lot of people have said, well, would they go back to St. Louis? Would they go back to San Diego? Would they go to San Antonio, Austin? I think the only way they're going to expand is, you know, if it's really worth their while financially. And I'm not sure there are any cities domestically that they would look at and say, it makes sense for us to split up our, you know, our war chest two different ways or four different ways to accommodate these cities having teams, unless those cities are places like London, Munich, Dusseldorf. Like, I just think the only way there's going to be any sort of expansion of the NFL in the anywhere near future would be if, you know, it's overseas.
It's Albert Breer joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, senior NFL reporter at the MMQB. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington here, two pros and a cup of Joe with you here on FSR. Albert, Brady was all about this Patch.com story involving Matt Nagy, and we were trying to talk him off the ledge.
No idea what Patch.com is there, Albert.
Was there any validity to this? Obviously, the Bears have come out and said no, and Matt Nagy's going to be coaching in a couple hours. How close to losing his job in season is Matt Nagy right now?
Yeah, good question.
Well, the Bears have never done it, and it's 101 years of history. So, you know, I know that they're one of those organizations like the Giants, like the Steelers, that sort of prides themselves on not being reactionary, you know, and being sort of a family business. That said, if there was a time to do it, this is generally the sort of spot where you would do it. You know, it's either coming out of a bye week or going into a bye week, or, you know, when you've got a game on a Thursday where you've got a chance in the back end to reset yourself a little bit and give the interim coach a chance to kind of get his bearings in his new role. You know, and so I think there's going to be, you know, obviously a lot of eyeballs on the game today. This is the spot where Matt Patricia got fired last year in Detroit for a lot of those same reasons. And, you know, I think the reason why a lot of people are going to be paying attention to, you know, what happens today is because of who they're up against. And, you know, if you're talking about a Bears team that had playoff aspirations, that traded up in the draft for a quarterback, and I know he's not going to play today, but still traded up in the draft for a quarterback, and, you know, they show up in Detroit, their DOA, against a Lions team that hasn't won a game all year. You know, now I think you have to start to ask the question of whether or not your team's responding to Matt Nagy anymore. But, you know, my understanding has been that they haven't made any sort of decision on that yet. And again, you know, ownership there has sort of always kind of, you know, been more patient than to fire a coach in midseason. And I think the only reason you do it again in this sort of spot would be if the team's not responding anymore, in which case you probably have a pretty bad environment for young players to come along.
I'm conflicted between
I
was going to say I'm conflicted between two questions here, Al. One being the surging Indianapolis Colts. I said they're dangerous because they have this amazing running back in Jonathan Taylor that
my guy.
It's leading the way, and I think that every team should want to draft a Jonathan Taylor. Or are we heading towards where are we at with the Rams with OBJ? And is it going to work out? They're working on the packages. It's going to take a little longer, whatever. But there's no buyer's remorse seemingly coming from the Rams. You choose whichever one you want to answer.
I'll answer both. You know, I think the Colts are for real. I think we're seeing a different type of Colts team this year because of the way they're built. You know, they're really sturdy on the lines of scrimmage, and that's the way Chris Ballard built that team over the last 5 years. I honestly think, guys, like if Andrew Luck were still there, we'd be talking about this being a Super Bowl team. And I think how far they go when we get to January, you know, may boil down to, you know, where Carson Wentz is and how far Carson Wentz can take them, because I think they've got a lot of the other pieces in place. You know, and I think it's one of those rosters when you look and you see balance across it. And, you know, like there just isn't a hole, and they can beat you different ways. And those are the sorts of teams that usually are dangerous in January. As for the Rams, I think this is sort of a gut check for a lot of people in that building. You know, it goes for Sean McVay, it goes for Matthew Stafford, in that, you know, like they were really rolling. They've lost a couple in a row now. And not only have they lost a couple in a row, there's sort of a blueprint emerging for how you beat them. The way the Titans beat them, the way the Niners beat them, I mean, really just lined up and punched him in the mouth, you know? And so I'll be interested to see how they look coming out of their bye. And OBJ is interesting because, you know, I think he went from being a luxury item when they got him because they had so many people around Matthew Stafford to then a couple of days later, you lose Robert Woods. And now all of a sudden, I think you need another playmaker to complement Cooper Kupp in that offense. And so, I think, Beckham, went from being kind of like, okay, like, how is he going to fit in here to now you really need to get him ready to go.
Albert, I want to ask you just about the Giants situation. They fire former head coach, obviously their offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett. What good does this really do? Is this more of a sign that maybe Joe Judge is on the hot seat? I think we've all known that David Gettleman, their general manager, is on the hot seat as well.
Yeah. And I think like the question with Gettleman is going to be kind of how the separation happens because he's got, history going back to the early 90s in that organization. And so, do you fire him? Does he move into a consulting role? Does he retire on his own? I think that's a big question. Then, you go to what happened with Jason. And I just say this, I understand the reason why it happened. And I think it was an awkward fit from the start. And you saw that with the firing of Mark Colombo as the offensive line coach last year, that there was sort of, I think in that building, like the last 2 years, there's been New England factions, which is like the Joe Judge group, and then Dallas factions, which is Jason Garrett and some of the offensive staff. And so, I think that this was sort of – the writing was on the wall with this, for a little while. That said, the Mara family loves Jason Garrett. They've got a ton of history with him. He played for them. And so the fact that the Mara family would sign off on Jason Garrett being fired in this way tells you everybody in that building is going to be on notice. And so – that's where you can swing it back around, Brady, to the general manager spot, where do they fire Joe and just start all over? Do they hire a general manager who matches up with Joe, where those guys are sort of tethered together, maybe a guy like Monty Austinfort in Tennessee that has New England background? Or do they go out and hire a general manager who now is going to evaluate Joe Judge in 2022? It's a really interesting situation because, I can tell you ownership there pretty embarrassed by the way the last 10 years have gone since they won that Super Bowl in 2011. And, I would expect that at least some heads are going to roll at the end of the year.
All right, Albert, we got less than a minute here. So I'm just going to ask you the question. Ohio State -8.5?
Oh, lay the points.
I don't think they can cover our receivers, guys. I don't know. Brady's a college football analyst. So, Brady, you going to take us? You lay those points?
Yes. If I was handicapping this game, I would have it at 10.5. I really would. I don't think Michigan's going to be able to get pressure on Stroud, which is the whole key to them not getting the football to the wide receivers. And, Ohio State can run the football a little bit too with Henderson. So, the reality is, it's kind of like going back to the Michigan State game. It's not quite as bad because Michigan's a better team and they don't have as many flaws, but they have to play a very specific style of game in order to have a shot to keep it close and win. I just don't see it happening.
I think Ryan Day has been really good in this game, going back to when he was the offensive coordinator.
Ryan Day's been really good.
Lavar, who you got Penn State, Michigan State?
Penn State,
Michigan State?
We are.
That's right, Penn State, baby.
Lavar, I just want to say we had our argument last week. My guy Jonathan Taylor came through for me and showing . Showing just how right I was.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I won't buy into that.
Get him on
Twitter.
Still not sold?
No. I've always been sold on Jonathan Taylor, but you're not going to do an either or with me. You're not going to get me to say something disparaging about my guy.
Get him on Twitter at Albert Breer. Albert, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Albert.
Jonas,
thanks,
Brady,
everybody.
LeVar, happy
absolutely. Happy
guys,
Thanksgiving, bro.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.